Chapter 22. We're still going to be looking into the first eight verses here. I don't know if we'll get accomplished what I hope to. I don't know if we'll be here next week or not. Always depends upon what the Lord says and how the Lord leads. Chapter 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Unintentionally, by that I mean without my designing it, we've shared these words before you on the subject of worship. And in our text, God tests Abraham, and he calls them to go unto a place that I will show thee, and offer thy son there, and worship me there. Worship me there. And Abraham made preparation, and he and the boy and two of his servants went on that journey to worship. As Abraham sees the place, he says, Now you two stay here. Stay here with the animal. And me and the lad, me and Isaac, we're going to go and we're going to worship. We're going to worship. We're going to worship and we're going to return back to you. Worship. I don't know how many people would find the subject of worship in our text. They might get hung up on, how in the world could God ask him to sacrifice his own son? Don't spend time trying to rationalize and trying to answer questions why. That's not the point. The point is God did. God did test Abraham and called Abraham to go and offer his son, to test him, to prove his faith. And he certainly passes with flying colors. God saw Abraham. God saw in Abraham a most perfect obedience. God didn't say, now, Abraham, I want you to take Isaac and I want you to offer him. And they're sitting in the living room. Abraham said the right thing. And God said, oh, I know you're faithful. Change of plan. Don't do that. God watched Abraham and he saw in Abraham a perfect obedience. In that Abraham immediately prepared to go. He got up and he went and he traveled to that place and he laid his son upon that altar and he pulled that knife back without hesitation. He was going to do what God had told him to do. And when God saw that most perfect faith, God cried out. So don't do the lad any harm. And Abraham sees the ram caught in the thicket, which was there all along. Do we have anything that's even an inkling close to that kind of faith? Does God see in any of us a perfect faith like he saw in Abraham? A perfect faith that drives us to obedience irregardless of the cost. Look in the mirror. And when you look in the mirror, you can pretty well see what God sees. Does God see a perfect faith within you and I? Well, when you look in the mirror, what do you see? Just such a perfect faith. I will obey God no matter what the cost. I will obey God no matter what. We saw last week that there is no exemption from testing. Tests of our faith prove the genuineness of our faith. There is no exemption. In fact, all of God's children are going to be tempted and tested. In many of our lives, God will bring the supreme test. Such a test that everything else pales in comparison. How will we do? How will we do? This thought of, and it came to pass that Abraham did tempt. It's not a temptation to sin. We read from James last week. God cannot be tempted to sin, neither tempteth he any man. It's not a temptation to sin or to commit sin, but it's a testing, it's a proving, it's a trying. After Isaac is born, and Hagar and Ishmael are sent on their way, and Abimelech and Abraham enter into their covenant, Abraham dwells in that area for many days. Probably translates to years. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days, verse 34 of chapter 21 tells us. And it came to pass after these things that God did prove Abraham's faith. We have told you that it is very possible that Isaac is in the neighborhood of 30 years of age when God tells him, take your son, your only son, the son that you love, your son of many years, and offer him up. We can find that when Sarah died, she was 127 years of age. And Isaac was born when Sarah was, what, 90? Wasn't Abraham 100? But God did test. God proved Abraham's faith. And I think it was Wednesday night I stated God gave Abraham that faith. God knew that faith was there. And God proved that faith. When we understand properly the things of God, we will understand that faith is not a work. It is a gift of God. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us we're saved by grace. It's a gift of God. We receive that gift through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. All faith is a gift from God. And so when God tests Abraham, when God tests you, you will have a faith within you that he gave you. He will test you and he will try you. He will prove you because he knows that faith is there. But still there's that element, how will we do when we're tested? I see in this portion of Scripture that God prepared Abraham for this testing, for this proving, by their being in fellowship with each other. There is no exemption from testing. Tests are going to come. All of God's people are going to be tested and tried. It'll be the testing and the proving of a faith that God has put within us. It will be a testing and a proving of faith that God knows is there. It will be God's proving us to see that faith rise to the occasion. And if you want to be prepared for your time of testing, here we go again. Repeating, saying those things that are so routine. God prepared Abraham for his proving, for his testing, for his trying, by their having fellowship one with another. God prepares you for your testing and your trials by your being in fellowship with him. Are you in fellowship with God? Abraham was a man of faith. He believed God and he acted and he obeyed God. As we have said frequently of late, Lot was not a man of faith. He was saved, obviously he was saved. Abraham was called the friend of God. Lot was not the friend of God. To be a friend of God, I believe you have to be in close fellowship with him. Are you in close fellowship with God enough to be called his friend? Or are you just somebody who knows they're saved, but doesn't spend a whole lot of time in close proximity to God? God prepared Abraham for this great monumental testing by being in fellowship with him. You can't be in fellowship with him and be in fellowship with the world. You can't walk with him and walk in the ways of the world. The only way to have fellowship with the Lord is to come out from the world and to be separate, as the Lord commands. We must have fellowship with Him in order to be prepared for our time of testing. We must be in fellowship with God if we have any hopes of being called the friend of God. Friend of God. Abraham! They're in close fellowship, aren't they? God said, Abraham. And in verse number 1, Abraham said, Behold, here am I. I'm right here, Lord. I hear you. You don't got to call twice. Verse number 11, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven as he was preparing to do just what God had sent him to do. The angel of the Lord cried out, Abraham, Abraham. Abraham said, Here am I. I hear you, Lord. Wasn't he glad that he heard the Lord at that moment? Because in Abraham's mind, he offered up his son. He obeyed the Lord perfectly. And in his offering up his son and obeying him perfectly, God ultimately spared his son. Works that same way in our lives. Works that way in our lives. We live in perfect obedience and we put God before all others. We put God before anyone, anything. If we'll walk in fellowship with God, if we say, I'm sacrificing this and I'm going to obey God, when God finds that kind of faith within us, He'll spare us the loss that we have sacrificed, put up before Him. He got the call in verse 11, Here am I. Because of that fellowship, he was able to pass that perfect test of that perfect faith. God commanded him to offer his only son, the son whom thou lovest, offer him as a burnt offering. That means slay him. Go to a place where I will show thee. Get it done. Abraham rose up, got moving. He got it done. Abraham immediately prepared to obey God and offer up his son. And because he offered up his son, in the end, his son was spared. And it works just the opposite. If God tells us to offer up our son or offer up whatever in perfect obedience to him, and we don't, because we don't want to lose those and we put those things before God, in the end, what are we going to do? We're going to lose those things. That which we hope to save by our disobedience will ultimately in the end be lost. But those that we're willing to sacrifice in perfect obedience, in the end we will ultimately find our saving. Get up and go. He got up and went. Go up, get up and go to the place that I will send thee, and I will send thee to Mount Moriah. Where was Mount Moriah? What's the significance of that place in the Bible? This pre-Israel date, this pre-Israel Isaac, well, Abraham will have to have Isaac. Isaac will have Jacob. Jacob will be the father of those 12 that becomes the nation of Israel. as he is sojourning in this land of Canaan, God sent him to go to Moriah to offer up his son. That is where you find Jerusalem. Curious, isn't it? Was it known as Jerusalem, or I don't even know if it was even had any population, but go to this mount that I'll show you. He went, it was Mount Moriah. It's where Jerusalem would one day be. And all the little things of Scripture just thrills your soul if you pay attention. If you consider the greatness of God. God told Abraham, take your son, your only son, the son that you love, your only begotten. Take him to Moriah and offer him there. And it is there that we find Jerusalem, and it is there where God will offer up his own son for his people. The God of details, that's the God we serve today. Abraham had absolute, unquestionable faith, belief in God. He says, go and offer that son. I'm going to go and offer that son, and I believe it's right, and I'm going to trust him. I'm going to obey him. I believe what God has said. I'm going to do what God has said. I'm going to sacrifice my son as God said, and I believe God is going to raise him up. And in the end, I'll not lose my son. Again, disobedience brings the opposite. Anything that you put before obedience to God, anything that you're not willing to serve God first and over all, in hopes of saving, in the end, you're going to lose it. And your heart will grieve. Unquestionable faith. Last week I asked you to think about Isaac. Somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 years of age, he knew what worship was. He didn't have any qualms. He didn't have any issues. He didn't have any problems when Abraham said, son, we're going to go and worship the Lord. Let's go. Fine, Dad. That's what we do all the time. Isaac knew. God had prepared Isaac through his father Abraham to know what worship was. And he wasn't fighting and he wasn't struggling. He wasn't refusing to go. He went along perfect in perfect obedience because he had been taught what worship was all about. Oh, there's so much there to consider. Who ever asked the question, what about Isaac's faith? But I believe he had it. He quietly went along without resistance. He knew what worship was. Lord, we got a father. Here's the wood and here's the fire and here's the place. And you've built the altar. And where's the sacrifice? It's all right, son. God will provide himself. Another one of those little details. I love the detail there of Abraham saying to Isaac, it's okay. God will provide himself. God will provide himself as. God provided himself a sacrifice in the person of Jesus Christ. We might be saved. All of these temptations that we're subject to, we need to expect them. If you don't expect them, they're going to take you off guard, they're going to surprise you, and they're probably going to trip you up. Get it in your head now, get it in your heads today, that God tests his people, always has, always will test his people. If you're truly one of his, he's going to test and he's going to try. He's going to prove you. Get it in your head here and now and expect those trials. And when they come, you'll not be taken off guard. Expect them, because God, if he's going to bring them, God has prepared you for them. And we're talking about serious stuff here. Expect this testing, because God has prepared you for it. If he's going to bring you to it, he's already prepared you for it. What God asked Abraham to do seems illogical. Most tests and most trials that you and I are subject to are going to be illogical. That doesn't make any sense. Why would God have him offer his son Isaac, who he'd been promising for decades and decades and decades, why would God, after giving him the son, ask him to offer him as a sacrifice? That's going to happen in your mind concerning your test and your faith all the time. That doesn't make any sense that God would ask me to give that up. That doesn't make any sense that God would tell me to stop that. That doesn't make any sense. Well, most tests and trials are illogical. But most tests and trials involve that which is most valuable to us. Think. And when God tests and tries us, he wants immediate obedience. And we need faith to pass the test. All of God's children are going to be tested and tried. It may be something very serious and along those lines. Let us learn to expect those tests and trials. Let us understand he'll bring those only after he has prepared us for them. He'll ask us to do that which isn't logical. He'll ask us to give up that which is so most precious to us. And when God calls us to offer it, to give it, immediately do so. Have faith to believe God. Let's stand.